Tonight I want to just talk about something that is close to my heart, and that is just to bring the love of God to your mind, and just to experience some of what Jesus Christ wants for each one of us tonight with you. You know, it's so evident, a weekend like this, we just get back to the cross again. A place where you and I can realize that without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. That we actually need Him so much. Now, I always say that weekends like this, when we get to sit down and just experience a little bit of time off, and, you know, just to again embrace the wholeness, the fullness of Jesus Christ, then we get to back to the place where we can connect with Him and to just explore where we are at with Him as well. And tonight I want to speak about something that is important, that is suffering, that all of us experience suffering, and that for some it's more intense, for some it was recently, for some it was years ago, but it's so important that we get to a place where we turn to Jesus and where we start to deal with the suffering in our lives, the pain. And tonight I want to trust that God is really going to speak into your heart. And I just want to give you a quick definition. Suffering is losing something that you previously had and experiencing the consequence of being without it. Loss is to be deprived of something that brings a lack to you. Now, there's different ways in which you and I experience loss in our lives, and the first one is the loss of loved ones, where some people in our lives passed away, people that was very close to us, people that we really loved, relationships that we treasured, and it's not there anymore. Then the loss of health. You've got a physical disability that you feel God did not come through for you. A physical disability where you feel, God, where are you in this area of my life? A loss of broken relationships. Some of you might have experienced divorce or maybe family fights. And it feels like you can't get a resolve in it. A loss or a lack of finance. You need a financial breakthrough and it feels as if God did not come through for you. A loss of ability. You feel you don't have what it takes to overcome certain challenges. A loss of dignity. Somebody did not honor you as a person, and you got offended. A loss of a desire to live. You feel like it's difficult to stand up in the morning with a passion and a desire to serve the Lord and have a plan for your life. That you want to live. And then you start to ask God some questions, and I just want to say tonight that it's important to ask questions. That when you get to a time such as this, you know, where you start to ask God, God, why is this happening in my life? It allows you to listen to God's questions back to you as well. Are you with me tonight? Because it's so important when you start to speak to God and you start to reveal your heart to Him and say, God, I don't understand this. Explain this to me. God starts to speak back and God asks you some questions, which is important to deal with. As Christians, we so often, and especially charismatic Christians, we always talk about the goodness of God. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And we never deal with the pain in our hearts. We never deal with the things that is important to such an extent where we can sit down and say, God, enough is enough. I want to deal with this area in my life. For too long have I postponed this pain. But we rather, as charismatic church and Christians, so often say, I'd rather focus on the goodness. And yes, that's important. But there's an area where you and I should sit down. Now, I've got, I came back yesterday because I did a wedding. Came back from Claymont. Now, Claymont is one of those places for me. When I drive into Claymont, it just feels like you know, everything is just shutting down. It just feels like all my focus is now just on resting and experiencing my family life to come together. A time when I go and sit down. There's a little spot there in Claymont where I go and sit on that little bench at the sea. And I start to ask God some questions. I start to connect with God and ask Him the things that is happening to me. Now that place is a place where you and I get to a crisis. Asking the questions, is God good? Is God alive? I've got this mannerism of at the office of always asking the staff there at the HQ at Oudemolen. I always ask them, is God still on the throne? Then I can see, you know, they are trying to figure this out. What is He saying now? What does He want to ask me? I want to ask you tonight, you know what? Do you know that God wants to reveal Himself to you? Is there a place where you can connect with Him and ask Him these questions? Does God really care? There's three things that I want to mention tonight of why we go through suffering. The pain that you are experiencing in your life, some severe, some not so severe, but things that we must deal with. The first one is testing. And I want you to go with me in Job chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. If you've got your Bibles here tonight, please follow with me in your Bible. We're going to do some extensive reading just to make sure that we are directing ourselves in the Word of God through this. I want you to go back tonight and really going to ask God these questions. Job chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. In the land of Uz, there was a blameless and upright man named Job, who feared God and avoided evil. This sounds like a godly man. An upright man who feared God and avoided evil. Seven sons and three daughters were born to him. And he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses and great number of work animals, so that he was greater than any of the men of the east. His son used them to take turns giving feasts, sending invitations to their three sisters to eat and drink with them. When each feast had run its course, Job would send for them and sanctify them, rising early and offering holocaust for every one of them. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and blasphemed God in their hearts." This Job did habitually. One day, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming the earth and patrolling it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job, and that there is no one on earth like him, blameless and upright, fearing God and avoiding evil?" But Satan answered the Lord and said, "It is for nothing that Job is God-fearing. Have you not surrounded him and his family and all that he has with your protection? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his livestock are spread over the land. But now put forth your hand and touch anything that he has, and surely he will blaspheme you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand upon his person." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So God was allowing Satan at this stage to go against Job, but there were certain boundaries. Listen to what happened further on in Job 2, verse 4 to 10. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin," and this is after Job passed the test, and again Satan came to the Lord, and he answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But now put forth your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and surely he will blaspheme you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, he is in your power, only spare his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with severe boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself as he sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, now listen, if I've got a wife like this, I would be very careful. His wife said to him, are you still holding to your innocence? Curse God and die. But he said to her, are even you going to speak as senseless women do? We accept good things from God, and should we not accept evil? Through all this, Job said nothing sinful. This was a godly man. If there was anyone on this earth that passed the test of suffering, it was Job. None had suffered like Job. He lost loved ones, a loss of finances, a loss of health, a loss of dignity, a loss of ability, a loss of a desire to live. But you know what? God was testing him. And therefore, the first thing why you and I go through suffering is testing. This man Job went through a lot of suffering, but you know what? Verse 8 says that he was upright and without blemish. He did not even deserve what came to him. Listen to this. He did not even deserve what came against him. Now, I want to ask you the question tonight. Was God aware of Job's suffering? Yes. Was God in control of the suffering over Job's life? Okay, there is people responding tonight. God was fully in control. God is in control of our lives, and sometimes he allows suffering. The second reason why you and I go through suffering is because of a consequence of sin. Now, I see this often, you know, in my own life as well with my little daughter, Anna Mart. I've got three daughters, Anna Mart and Lana and Zoe. And always with Anna Mart, I see this happen. She comes and she's playing with stick or something that she must not play with. And then I say to her, Anna Mart, don't play with it. It's going to hurt you. And it's as if Anna Mart just, you know, look at me, but I can see, listen, here's something going on in that little mind that is not of the Lord. There's something within her eyes that I can see, listen, she is going to be up to mischief. And then it's not just moments after that I hear around the corner her crying because the stick hurt her. But you know what? I can fight with her. I can speak to little Anna Mart. I can say, listen, Anna Mart, why didn't you listen to me? You know, I said to you, you're going to get hurt. But even though I can tell her, Anna Mart, I forgive you for not being obedient, she still must go through the consequence of sin. And so often we as Christians, we experience God and, you know, we feel convicted by the Holy Spirit about the wrongdoing in our lives, and we say, God, we are sorry. But you know what? Even going through the process of forgiveness and redemption, we still suffer the consequence of sin. And sometimes we go through suffering because of the wrong choices that we've made in this life. David was such a person. 2 Samuel 12, verse 9 to 19. Turn with me. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife. And this is Nathan the prophet speaking against David. And have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house. Because you have despised me, you have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up an adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it in secrecy, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not. Nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day, it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do us some harm. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. We know that David rose and lived further on for the Lord. I want to just say to you tonight, you know what, when it comes to suffering, sometimes we don't understand it, but because of the wrong choices that we make in this life, we still need to bear the consequence of those decisions. David lost not just the child, but in his life, his own children came against him and against one another. I know one thing about even this, and I've seen it so many times in my own life, because I'm a sinful man myself. I've seen how God can, even through these circumstances, turn everything together for our good. Romans 8. Where even through our repentance, we can allow God to use our circumstances to work everything together for our good. And David did so. But he had to go through suffering. Sometimes I just want to tell Christians, you know what? Don't give everything around you. Just the opportunity to rule over you. You can either use grace to just survive in life and just say, God, please, just forgive me and I want to just overcome. Or you can use grace to rule in this life. When it comes to suffering, I want to tell you, you know, God wants you to experience his love. God wants you to know that he has your best interest at heart. And he wants to move to you, with you, so that you can fulfill the life's calling that you have. The third thing is the thing of suffering is for a purpose. Now we know, according to Joseph's life, being such an anointing young boy even, and having the favor of his dad, and then, you know, his brothers coming against him. We see in Joseph's life how he grew up, always wanting to do God's things, always wanted to be a righteous man. But a lot of things went wrong in his life. He was persecuted by his brothers. Later on, he went to Egypt because of his brothers. He went under the hand of Potiphar, which at the end was so unfair against him. He went to jail. But all of it was for a purpose. You know, it's so clear. A weekend like this is for me so special when we are reminded about what Jesus Christ came to do for us. The fact that Jesus himself went through suffering, not because he was doing anything wrong, but because It was for a purpose. It was so special for me yesterday just to speak about the significance of this weekend. Just Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus at the third hour, according to Jewish time, 9 o'clock in the morning, being crucified in Jerusalem on Golgotha. You know what? For 6 hours, he went through the torment of the cross. For 6 hours in Jerusalem, the little lambs was prepared to being offered, because it was at that stage also the offering of the lambs. You know, Jesus Christ came together with the lambs into Jerusalem because it was the tradition that 4 days a little lamb would be cross-examined if there was any defect. Before it was brought for the sins of the people to the high priest, which would offer it for the sins of the people. But we know that Jesus Christ hung on the cross, and that while all of this was happening, Jesus also came into Jerusalem 5 days beforehand and experienced the hosannas, the receiving of Jesus into Jerusalem. And then for 4 days he was examined by Pontius Pilate and by Herod. And all of this come together when at the 9th hour, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know what? Jesus Christ shouted, "Tetelestai." At that stage, the high priest Caiaphas was basically ruled out because he tore his clothes previously when he said to Jesus, "How can you say and blaspheme God by saying that you are the Son of God?" He nullified himself. But you know what? At 3 o'clock that afternoon, Jesus, when he shouted out, the curtain was torn into two, and the lambs was not sacrificed to God because the temple was not functional anymore. But we know which lamb was sacrificed to God for our sins. 3 o'clock the afternoon, Jesus Christ could die for our sins. I want to tell you, you know what? It's not about the sins that he died for us for. It's the restoration of the relationship. Because he wanted us to experience a divine plan and a purpose for us to experience the fullness of God to all mankind. So often we experience suffering in our lives because of a purpose. Because we don't know why we are experiencing this fallen world and everything that it has to offer. But it's for a purpose. And I want to talk about a few things. Just 9 things that is important when we go through suffering. Because all of us experience suffering. And the first one is that we don't run away from pain, but to face it. Maybe you sit here tonight and you know that in your heart some things are surfacing. Some things God wants to deal with. But you know what? Running away from it will not help. And naturally, we are tempted to run away from God rather than to God. Because we don't want to deal with the pain. And I want to say to you tonight, run to God. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Zephaniah 3 verse 17 says, "He will quiet you with his love." God wants to quiet you tonight with his love. Let's just pray. Father, I want to pray that you will tonight surface, Father God, the things, the pain, the suffering that we so often go through and, Father God, not deal with. Before we go on, I want to just ask you in Jesus' name that you will bring us to stillness, to a place of quietness where we can experience your love. I want to ask you, Father God, that as you say to us, "Be still and know that I'm God," that tonight it will be a significant moment in each one of our lives, a place where we can surrender, Father God, and bring the pain of our lives to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we approach God, it hurts. You come face to face with a pain. But I want to tell you tonight, healing is a process. And although it's a process, we decide how long it takes to receive the healing in our lives. Time does not heal. Are you with me tonight? Time does not heal. You and I have to commit ourselves to a process, but we have to commit ourselves to come to God face to face to deal with the pain in our lives. You can either deal with it or you can drag it with you for the rest of your life and it will haunt you. But we can come to God face to face, allowing Him to bring the healing in our lives. The second thing that I want to mention is don't look for comfort from people because people fail. We so often, and I'm so guilty in this, I so often, when I must deal with the pain in my life, I go from person to person, telling them my life story, telling them of the pain in my life. As I move from person to person, it's in a way just a way of trying to get somebody that agrees with me. But you know what? You don't get comfort through reaching out to people. You need to reach out to God. But we need people to comfort us. God heals, but people support. And therefore, even in the true comfort, we need people to support us to get back to where God wants us to receive healing. The third thing, you need support from people. God sends support in our lives. But it's so important to say tonight that if you want to have a friend, make sure to be a friend to other people. That if you want a friend in this life, you must be a friend to other people around you. Proverbs 25, verse 17. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. Just make sure that you respect the boundaries of people that you also serve in their pain and their sorrow to such an extent where you are not allowing yourself to become a nuisance. We support people, but we cannot bring them to the comfort of healing. Then, number four, do not deny your pain. Do not fall into self-pity. Denying is to bundle up. I don't know if you've experienced this before, people that you reach out to, and it's just like a sign on them. Danger, explosion about to happen. Because every time that you want to reach out to them, it's just as if they don't understand you. They just explode on you. They just defend themselves. They don't feel like you are speaking into their lives. They feel like you are criticizing them. We can either, you know, bundle up, or we can experience the healing of God in our lives by bringing the pain to God. The fifth one, don't join a pity party. Make sure that in the midst of your difficult circumstances, you reach out to people that is positive. Don't go to people that are in the pit and drags you down. Go to people that are positive and that can speak into your life. I've got this friend at university I remember so good. We drove there at Thijs Visser. I drove with my little Nissan Bucky. And I really loved that Bucky. I polished it every weekend. As I drove past the cricket nets, they hit me with a cricket ball. And I jumped out of that bucky. And I was just so fierce. So what now? What should I do? And immediately this friend of mine came to me. And he said to me, Pia, he said to me, Hercules, I think you're not really acting as a Christian should. I said to him, yes, Pia, but if this was your car, what would you have done? He said to me, I would have expected you to do the same that I'm doing to you now. Is to speak into your life and to tell you that this is not the way that Christians should do it. It's so important that we surround ourselves with positive people when we go through suffering, through a time of pain, where we allow people to speak into our lives. And God can just reveal Himself to us through those people. But don't surround yourself with people that speaks negative over you and complain together with you about life and how bad life is. Allow people that is so positive to speak and uplift you. And then, number six, reach out and be a blessing to others. Reach out and be a blessing to others in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your suffering. Make sure to reach out to other people. Listen to this part of Job's life. Job 42, verse 10 to 11. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. But verse 10 again, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. So often when we go through difficult circumstances, we are so self-focused and focus on our little small world and our problems and the things that go wrong in our life that we forget that we must be blessed to be a blessing. That we surrender ourselves to God as He wants to use us. And we find our contentment within Him working through us. And for you tonight, I want to say that when you are in that place of pain, that place of suffering, make sure to look out for others that's going through suffering and to start to serve them. Because your healing is going to come through their healing. And then, number seven, make a definite choice. Job 2 verse 9. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. You know what? If you are in the midst of difficult circumstances and you've got a wife such as this, you must really stand. Now I want to say to you tonight, you know what? In the midst of Job's life, he made a choice beforehand to say, God, I will not, I will not, I will not, I will not go against you. Principles must be decided upon beforehand. God, I will be faithful to you. And God, I know your goodness and your faithfulness in my life is evident. And God, I will not go against you because I know that you love me. But I make a choice beforehand to know that you will not, Father God, come against me without having my best heart's interest at your heart. You know, for me, it's so important that we know that when the difficult circumstances come, we already made the choice that God, I'll be faithful no matter what. Gain from suffering. Maybe we should just quickly read Daniel 3 verse 14 to 18. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, it is true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up. Now if you are ready at the time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music. You fall down and worship the image which I have made. Good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. They already made the choice. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. These three men already made the choice. God, we will serve you no matter what. You'll come through for us. The eighth thing, gain from suffering. There's something about the suffering that humbles us enough to only run to God. Humble yourself and learn from through your brokenness, like Job did. Listen to Job's story. Chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. For Job, it was necessary to go through this process. And he's admitting, God, even in the midst of the suffering, I can say that I'm so humble. But I know that you're a good God. Through my circumstances, I know that you'll come through for me every time around. You're a faithful God. The ninth thing, go to the Word of God. When you are in pain and suffering, make sure to run to God, but make sure that you experience Him through the Word of God directing you. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Not just directing you. The Word of God is not just directing you, but it's also a light to my path. It's revealing the knowledge and the wisdom of God. There's a place of transparency where you and I come to God in the midst of our difficult circumstances, where we are so humble before God and saying, God, please speak into my life. Allow me just to experience you, to bring light to me. A place where you and I can experience the light of God in our lives. Read the Word of God. Make sure to adhere to just the principles of the Word and speak it out. Job 42, verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. I don't know what you do with 1,000 donkeys, but this sounds good to me. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Listen to what happened to Job's life. And he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-Epoch. And all the land were found no woman so beautiful as the daughters of Job. Are you with me tonight? Job's story is telling us tonight that God is good all the time. If we can, in the midst of our circumstances, run to God. In all the land, we find no woman so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. I don't know what blessing that would be. Don't know if I want to live 140 years. But God blessed him and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. This is such a beautiful story to me about the goodness of God in the midst of suffering of Job. Tonight I want to trust that God really brings us to a place where we, in the midst of suffering, can experience Him as a good God. Can we just quickly stand? Father, as we stand before you tonight, Father God, there's so many of us that experience pain and suffering in this world. And even tonight, Father God, we can just ask you to reveal your heart's desires to us. We can bow our knee tonight, Father God, and we can recognize that everything is not so right, Father God. Everything is not as it should be. There's a pain, Father God, that we're experiencing from day to day that hinders us, Father God, to go forward. And we so often deny it. Father, myself, I want to bring myself to you tonight. I want to just say, Father, I'm so often in denial about the things that's not being dealt with. Tonight, as we stand before you, Father God, I want to just pray in Jesus' name that we will not walk out of this place without your presence in our lives, without, Father God, your healing connecting to our hearts. I know that there's people here, Father, in the midst, Father God, of your presence, that feel the surfacing of pain, Father, and sorrow and suffering. And Father, you tonight want to just reveal your heart to them to say, be still and know that I'm God. That I love you enough that I want to bring healing to your life. Father, if we read Job, and then we know that you are in control. Father, that even in the midst of the chaos in our lives and asking so many questions to you, we know that, Father God, you are a faithful God and that you call the shots. Father God, that our boundaries are laid through you, Father God, being in control of our lives. And therefore, we know that you will not tempt us, Father God, beyond what we can overcome. That you've given us the back door already. But Father, that you've given us the opportunity for healing as your Son Jesus died for us. As your Son Jesus died for a purpose, we know that every one of us can tonight bring the hurt to you so that you can deal with the pain in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray, Father God, for the blood of Jesus tonight to truly touch our hearts, to touch our minds, Father God, and to help us to go forward. I want to pray, Father, that as we come to you tonight, that we will not stay the same, but through Jesus Christ receive the healing that's necessary for our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to worship now. But you know what? I want to ask you, don't leave this place if there's some unresolved issues. Don't leave this place if there's pain and sorrow that God wants to deal with tonight. Remember what I said, healing is a process in our lives, but time does not heal. It's necessary for us to commit ourselves toward a process where we say, God, speak to me. God, allow me to experience your presence. So as we worship and as we end off with this song, I want to ask you, you've got pain here tonight, and you know that God is speaking to you. Come to the front. We are just going to set off the process in your life. We cannot bring healing to you. We cannot bring you any comfort, but the Holy Spirit can. Jesus Himself can come and touch you. Let us just allow Jesus tonight, raw Jesus, to speak to our hearts. Amen. Let's just worship.